Village of Ramley, Community Home, January 19th, 2015.
Good evening. I'd like to call to order the Village of the Whole Committee, for the Roundlet Committee of the Whole meeting for January 19th, 2015 at 7:20 p.m. And for a roll call.
Trustee Frank.
Present.
Trustee Fraley.
Present.
Trustee Newby.
Present.
Trustee Sanicelli. Trustee Turpin.
Present.
Trustee Rosinski.
Present.
Thank you, Madam Clerk. May I get a motion for item 2.1, approve the minutes of the Committee of the Whole meeting of January 5, 2015?
So moved.
Second.
Motion made by Trustee Fry, seconded by Trustee Trippern. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Public comment. Committee of the Whole, Human Resource and Finance.
Audit report advancement letter for the year ending April 30th, 2014. Dan Berry, Department of Public Security, to give a brief overview and answer any questions you may have.
Okay. Mayor asked me to keep this for about a half an hour. First of all, I'd like to report that we received excellent cooperation from village staff. We were able to come out and do our preliminary testing at the beginning of July. When we come out then is when we talk to staff and send out the confirmations and just kind of get a lay of the land of what's new here and what we'll be in for when we do the audit. We don't actually test any numbers at the preliminary stage. It's just the kind of energy staff and take a look at internal controls, things of that nature. We came back at the end of September. The village was very ready for us. Shane had started by them and had a good hand in preparing for the audit, but because he wasn't here for the year, he went back to see if he had some of the answers on why things were the way they were. It was a little crossover here between the two of them, but our go-to person was Shane. We were able to get in and out by October 3rd. And then got a draft report to the staff on the 17th of October, which is pretty early given that field work. So the good news is that I'm up. So we got we eventually sent out a second draft at the beginning of November, and of course the final report went out in early December. So what you have before you is the result of that. It contains our opinion. The only part of the report that's truly ours, and it's the best opinion we're allowed to give you, it's commonly referred to as a clean opinion. We used to call it an unqualified, but they changed that a couple of years ago. Now we call it an unmodified opinion. So, again, best opinion we're allowed to give. The report also contains the management discussion and analysis written by staff. The only part of the report that's truly comparative comparing last year to this year, and trying to explain to the reader what changed and why. If you haven't had a chance to read the report, please go to that first. I think you'll find that most informative. And again, it is comparative. So it'll let you know exactly what happened. If you'd like, I could hit a couple of quick highlights.
That'd be great.
Okay. Actually, the village enjoyed a pretty good year financially. The governmental activities added about $1.7 million to the net position of the village. On the other hand, the business-type activities lost about $300,000. I want to emphasize that the water fund had an operating income before depreciation, but due to the $1.1 million of depreciation, that's what resulted in the $300,000 loss. So cash flow-wise, not so bad. Actually adding money to the bottom line from a cash flow standpoint, but when we factor in depreciation, for the last several years, the water fund has been in the red, factoring that in. So it's something that the village board wants to keep an eye on, staff should keep an eye on, to make sure that you are preparing to replace the infrastructure of the water fund as necessary and make sure that money is on hand. Try to avoid going into debt unless it's a major project, and that's the village policy. Decision to do that. The general fund had a nice year too. It actually increased its fund balance by a good amount, but then transferred $700,000 to the MFT fund and $700,000 to the debt service fund, resulting in a reduction of fund balance of about $500,000. So that is planned for, and in spite of that, the fund balance remains to be almost 9 months of the village expenditures if you add in the transfers as well. So by according to the village's fund balance, still within the target that the fund balance policy had. And the last thing I wanted to just point out was your IMRF fund now jumped up 10 percentage points as percentage funded as of December 31st, 2013, which is the last actuarial report that the village had for this report. The new one won't be out until April. But with the market year as it closed, I think most people are expecting that percentage of funding to continue to rise. So that's the good news. The not bad news and not great news is that the police pension fund is funded at about 58%. So it's something that the village has very little control over. The pension board monitors that, the investments and things of that nature. You simply get a actuarial report telling you how much to levy, and the village has been about putting in the required actuarial funding levels. So it's just something that you need to keep an eye on. The difference between the assets and the actuarial accrued liability will be going on the village's book in 2 years. At 2016, we'll be required to put the difference between the assets and the liability on the books, not of the general fund, but of the governmental activities as a liability. So you being cash basis, a modified cash basis on the report affects you a little bit less, but that's a number that will be jumping out at a lot of people. So with that, I'd be happy to answer any questions that you might have about the annual financial report, the audit process, or the board communication that you have before you.
Is there any findings this year that will come through the collect?
You talked a little bit about collateralization and the way investments are being held, and had a comment about that in that document, talking about taking a look at the investment policy as well as the police pension fund and the village and making sure your collateralization and safekeeping are in accordance with those policies, and actually beefing up the policy a little bit because it is silent on custodial risk. We want to make sure that we document what the village's and pension fund's desires are, what their taste for risk is, and then that gives us a better starting point to do the audit. So it's just a matter of dotting some I's, crossing some T's, and improving a little bit, really.
So
with
the Dan was alluding to is what we have in place right now is trust accounts, and both of our policies don't necessarily address health and trust. So we already looked at that on the Thursday meeting for police pension to address that with them because it's silent for police pension. And then we're going to be looking at the village investment policy to make sure it includes the interest of public trust so that we're taking a plan.
In other words, the collateral that was pledged for you was not moved to a third-party institution. It was simply moved into the trust department at PNC Bank, which is acceptable but not exactly in accordance with your policy. So we either need PNC Bank to move it to a third party, such as the Federal Reserve Bank, or your policy to be altered to coincide with what the fact is.
What's your recommendation?
No, really, it's up to the village board and to staff to make recommendations. I don't know exactly what your appetite for risk is. The fact of the matter is that a trust department is a separate company from the actual bank. So theoretically, if the bank went under, it would not be able to access the trust department. Has there been a situation where a bank went under and needed to access the trust department? So that's the legalese of it and the FDIC regulation, things of that nature that we would look to make the village full in the case of a bank default.
I may ask you that there's a few acquisition that we did was to get staff from a stronger background in accounting, and part of the project that was being given to the board was to address those comments in the upcoming years so we can eliminate prior comments, with the exception probably of segregation of duties because we're so small in size. But there's a few other comments out there, such as recaptures, processing of avoided checks, that we'd like to finally resolve, take care of, and that's a goal of ours over the next year. And thank you, Shane, for your work on the audit. I actually could not review this until something I gave up pretty quickly. I know it's not that hard, but this is one of those that could review it.
Wow.
That's the first in 20 years.
You need a gold star.
Dan, I just want to thank you for the work. Also, the way you and your staff handled the audit last year and asking difficult, frightening questions to our staff and doing that in such a professional manner that everybody was at ease. I know you've been with the village now for quite some time, and the speed that you did this with Shane, thank you also, Shane, for this last one. So, again, thank you for your professionalism. It was noted by staff. Thank you.
I'll pass it along to Mike back as well.
Thank you.
I'd always like to remind the board, too, that I work with staff, but I work for the board. So if you should have questions regarding the products that you have or the process, please feel free to contact me. Shane and Steve know how to get a hold of me. I'd be happy to take your calls or emails or however you choose to do it. Thank you.
Thank you.
Just under a half.
Oh, of course, facility capital assets, we have nothing. Lenny, everything fine? Thank you. Special event? Oh. And down to administration, fire suppression, fire code changes.
Doug Davis here from the fire department, so I'm going to start off with this comment that myself, Assistant Village Commissioner Johnson, and Mayor McGillis all met with Chief Mapplethorpe on Friday for about an hour and a half. I'm assuming Chief Mapplethorpe then informed Doug of that meeting, and Doug would like to make a few comments tonight to the board regarding us as a fire department stating that they think we're going backwards, but I'll let him comment on that. Right now, remember, we have a zero square footage for commercial, new commercial for fire suppression. We're suggesting to eliminate that, don't do that exception, and just go with the 2006 building code, which is the 2006 international fire code. And that, we'd like to make a comment.
Yeah, I'd like to make a statement. I'd like to, my name is Doug Jigman, I'm a fire marshal for Raleigh Fire Protection District, and I would like to ask the board to consider not repealing this ordinance, taking steps back in life safety for citizens, employees of the town, plus the firefighters. When most villages now are, Illinois is one of the highest amounts of villages that are having zero ordinances at the current time. They're at everybody in the country. I can say Round Lake Beach just repealed their ordinance, but they're pretty much, pretty much built out. We still have some room to grow here. There's a lot of issues that go along with that, and things that happen when they come in. If we put the usability code and it's 12,000 square feet, they're going to come in, they're going to build a building that's 11,900 square feet. And then they're going to put up a fire separation, they're going to build one right next to 11,900 square feet, where essentially you're going to have a 23,000 square foot building, not sprinkled. And currently, if the ordinance wouldn't have been passed originally, we'd have a warehouse over on Valentine that's about 10,000 square feet full of boats, full of gas, that wouldn't be protected. if you repealed that ordinance, and he was to build now, that would be protected. This huge fire load, trigger cut behind there, and a big life safety issue. So I could go on and on and reasons why you shouldn't repeal it, the district feels you shouldn't repeal it. But I, you know, as far as I'm concerned, and the fire district, that it's not a good idea to repeal it. So maybe I'll, you know, take that step back in life safety.
You're repealing the zero square footage and putting it back to adhering to the 2006 building code, but in the fire department's eyes, that's taking a step back because right now any new commercial is going to be sprinkled. Chief Mabel's are brought some good items too, which we didn't think about. For example, insurance premiums, I didn't know this, but supposedly Grieve, this was a story, didn't have fire suppression, and then was so glad to go ask your insurance company if you put in fire suppression, you know, how much your insurance premiums would be, and they found out they would save a lot of money. That, to me, I could go either way and say, look, we may not have it, but if you put it in yourself, even though we may not say you have to, you're going to save a lot of money on insurance. There were some other items involved, like business continuity, sales tax, et cetera. I can only tell you in Chamber, Woodville, we had a separate insurance policy on them for business continuity. I know they were sprinkled, but there was an adjusting case due to the sales tax they could generate. Without having to ace, let's say, I don't know. But he brought up some very good valid points, and that is why we cannot make team to include them. That's why this is here.
And also Chief Mapplethorpe said that he would investigate if we could get some examples from businesses that had successful relationships with their insurance company with rates going down because of sprinkled systems. He said there was the, and Doug, you probably know this, the National Sprinkling Association guys. He said that they have that information ready. I would think that this would be something that we would like to incorporate into our building department to say, hey, if you go ahead and make this investment now while the building is being built, which is pennies on the dollars as to adding a system later, we can show you a spreadsheet that will show you in maybe a five-year period you can recoup that money that you put up for it to sprinkle your building and make money every year after that, that you're in business in there. That's a powerful tool to me. And it's a tool that the village could offer to those people. But, you know, we're bringing this topic up because we have seen in the past and we're dealing right now with a company that wants to come in here and finds that our laws or ordinances are too restrictive. And we don't want to lose business, potential business, to the beach. We know after 2 years that I've been sitting here meeting with developers and meeting with business owners and knowing that people who want to make this type of investment sit down and read village codes. And I don't want to lose one for somebody looking for these things and saying, nope, there goes Round Lake. Now, do I want to work with that company if they come in here because they're interested in us and give them good information from the fire department, have that information readily available downstairs to them? Yeah, I do. But I don't want to lose business either. Any other questions for Doug?
So obviously you know what the other areas, villages are doing. What's the consensus? What are most of the others doing?
Well, Raleigh Park is currently zero on commercial, Raleigh Heights is zero on commercial. Angel is at 12,000, they're with the code, and that's what Raleigh Beach went to, 12,000 square feet, which is the minimum standard in the building code, which is a minimum code required.
So that's beach.
Right. So 12,000 square feet is what the code says would be the minimum safe size building down. And there's a lot of, you know, it depends on what it is. You know, if it's a church and you have over 300 people, you have to put sprinklers in no matter what size it is. So there's other things in there in the mix. But as far as is commercial coming in, I mean, any box store chain, they come in and they say, do we have to sprinkle it or not? So they don't really care. They just say, do we have to do it or not? We have, you know, Riley's Auto Parts coming in Raleigh Beach. Initially, when they first sent in the drawings, they said, do we have to sprinkle? Yes, you do. So they said, okay, we're fine. So now they don't have to sprinkle because they repealed the rest of the ordinance. But it doesn't matter to them. Wendy's the same way. They put a 500 square foot addition on the building, which made them have to sprinkle the whole building. Well, they didn't have a problem with it because it's part of business, and it's part of the safety for the, you know, the employees and the customers. And, you know, it's, to me, to repeal this ordinance is just a step back, and it's, you know, for safety.
So you're saying that this is flirting with disaster?
I think so. I mean, heaven, you know, if something happens and you repeal that ordinance and somebody builds a building and we have a fire and that building would have been sprinkled before it was repealed, and, you know.
Yeah. There's a lot of this right there. There's a lot of this right there. And the big thing that is the selling point on this is those simple words, life, safety. You know, that's a powerful tool. But one of the, you know, we had, I'm not going to go down that road.
I agree with what Doug is saying as far as big box. We are struggling with the smaller business, or family run business, that really can't afford it. I can see it. We're never going to big box retailer. That's what we've been told. A Walmart was saying, we don't care if we have a sprinkler or not. We don't pay for it. It's a smaller business that is taking money and goes, oh my gosh, we can't afford it. There's no way. They come to Walmart. I'm going to go to the beach because they're going to allow me to build a building at 10,000 square feet. I'm going to save $30,000 or whatever it is. That's what we're looking at, at least in my personal opinion.
I was going somewhere I don't want to go.
So you're saying
about safety? Absolutely, I care about safety more than anything.
For clarification, Mayor, if I could, the International Code Council studies actual data, particular uses, and Lieutenant, correct me if I'm wrong, but... Yeah. Everybody in a white shirt, I just thought. They have over a dozen use groups and subgroups based on the data surrounding what is stored in buildings, who goes to buildings, the size. And so the fire marshal's concerned that you're going to have fire areas, which is what the code talks about, that are staggered and put next to each other. So instead of one big 24,000 square foot warehouse, you might have essentially two 11,900 square foot fire areas next to each other. The people at ICC who study this say that's okay. And that's actually safer. And I think...
Well, there would have to be a firewall between the two.
It would be a fire separation assembly.
The thing that fire separation assembly is all black and it's got a 3-hour long one, 3 feet through the roof and 18 inches out both sides. And the cost of that is probably half of what the sprinkler system is. So, you know, we've had buildings where they wanted to, you know, we don't want to sprinkle the place. So we're going to put it on fire. We're going to build two buildings. We're going to have our firewall. We're going to have a fire door in the middle. That ended up costing almost the same as a sprinkler in the long run.
But that's not the village's question to answer. The question to answer, and the trustees are kind of alluding to it, is, are we, A, flirting with disaster, and B, are we throwing out the life safety code? Well, you're not. You are defaulting to the International Fire Code, unmodified for this provision. And the International Fire Code has all of these uses and sub-uses based on use occupancy of building. And it's studied based on data. And they come out with a... You can't argue that it's not a well-thought-out code.
No, that's also minimum standards.
I understand that. I understand that. But if you talk about a boat storage facility, we have attached garages too. Should we start, how far down that slope do you go? And this is a policy decision you're answering. So it's typically not the best way to approach it, is a, we have to sprinkle everything. That's typically not the best way to approach it. Because you do have gasoline stored in houses. Right? We allow attached garages. You have gasoline stored in houses. And the data would tell you that that works out okay. And the International Fire Code recognizes that that works out okay. And you can go one more and require your single-family homes to be sprinkled too and adopt NFPA 13. But you don't do that, and the data doesn't necessarily justify that. So it's better analysis to focus on the problems that you're solving with respect to whether or not to modify a national code or not. Many communities adopt the International Fire Code unmodified. This one was modified by the Round Lake Village Board to put in a stricter standard. So you're not doing away with all standards if you go back to the unmodified version, and you're not alone.
Well, I can say the 2009 building code requires sprinklers in homes.
Which one do we have here now? Like
2006.
So eventually you're we're not requiring sprinklers in the homes. And typically, if you bring in a fire marshal or you bring in firefighters, they say sprinkle everything. I mean, that's not a judgment. That's just a fact.
Yeah.
So you have one set of opinions that you're dealing with, and the other that you have to manage is the soundness of your tax base for all of Round Lake against the safety risk. And if you felt that you were significantly raising a hazard in town, then obviously the increase in your tax base management isn't worth it. But you're not alone in defaulting to the 2006 code. It's good code.
So in other words, if we even stay right with it the way it is now, so we've already adopted the 2006. Okay.
But then the village board in the past went one further and modified it at the political level, not the technical level, at the political level, and introduced an even stricter standard, which the data may or may not have supported at the time.
But it's had a chilling effect on the tax base of the village.
Apparently.
Small businesses that would come here and decide to set up this shop here as opposed to going to a beach or somewhere else to do the same thing.
Do you have any other businesses that was a fact now?
We've had one school for a while.
And talking to property owners in the industrial park that has been a topic in the past, and we're dealing with one right now currently. So again, as Mr. Zimmerman's saying, you know, we're not creating and writing a new code specifically to us. We are adhering to the 2006 building code, which has its fire code in it, the way it was written, without any additional restrictions that we currently have put on there for political reasons.
And it's a sound code, which is by itself without our adding anything else to it.
Doug, thank you for your comments. Do you have more?
I'm good. Anybody have any questions?
Any questions for Doug? Thank you for coming out
okay.
and sharing the fire department's view. And please thank Chief Mapplethorpe for the meeting last Thursday or Friday. Good conversation came about it. The chief was very happy that we, as he put it, I see the light of the train coming, but thank you for inviting me and letting me know that this is happening. And then with an hour and a half of topic and conversation about saving money through insurance premiums, it was a very productive meeting. Steve, to wrap this up, any comments?
I have no further comment unless there's some additional questions or comments from the board that maybe we need to address, either tonight or prior to the next meeting.
So are you asking for the board for their consensus right now on what they want to do for to move this forward?
Yeah, to give me the law items, I guess. Right now I'm suggesting to move it forward because the board tells me otherwise.
Opinions? Move it forward, if I'm with them, Russ?
Move it forward, last time.
Good. Thank you, everybody.
Regular board?
It's regular board. Intergovernmental agreement. Salt purchase with school district. 116.
In front of you is an intergovernmental agreement with the school district. It's preliminary. They accused Salt, I believe, with us in the past. Well, like I knew, but I don't know why, because you weren't here last year. A couple of things. I believe that they're purchasing as well as $110 per ton. We're getting ours for between 60 and 70 between Lake County and the state. But above all, I'm trying to be good neighbors again. I feel like our relationship, again, with our taxing district hasn't been the best. We're just trying to help them out in times of need. What we got to do is have a way to track it. I know Lenny's already come up with ideas to make sure it's tracked right, invoiced correctly, etc. They will not probably need salt in the middle of the night. They will only need salt like during the day, or if they know a storm is coming, they would fill up their trucks ahead of time, and then the next day go ahead and salt their parking lots. But with that, this is, you know, very early on. But being in the snow season now, I was just trying to get this through. They asked me to get this through as quick as possible to the board. So if there's any big questions, to let them know immediately. I think it's a good idea. I think they're not going to use much salt. We become good neighbors again.
Do you know what they used in the...
I don't know that. Charlie Purvis, I believe, has that information. And I can get that for you.
I just want to make sure that these are careful for it. We have a lot more positive to handle it. Second, on the agreement, I know there's no anything as far as food around us, so we have to pay a better price. How would we pass that over? Or would we have, should we have that agreement?
We're going to pass on whatever we pay to them. I can, legal's looking at it now. I just said it like last week. So we can work out the details. I can throw us off. I prefer to get it going, but not put it on consent. We'll put it on a regular agenda so there's specific questions.
I'm all okay. Yeah. That's on the short cover.
That, yeah, so much I want to cover too. Yeah. The other thing is that if there's a major snow, it's not in the agreement, but they know where it's our sulfurs.
Okay.
That's another thing that people have asked. So us first, and us second.
Now what?
So I know.
What if we run out?
That's right. That's what I'm saying. So
now, what if we run out? What do they do for the safety of their children? They have a backup plan.
They're already buying salt at $110 per ton.
So they can get it delivered.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. That's correct.
And hopefully, I said, I just talked with Don before the meeting. I said, hopefully, Don, with the type of winter we had, I'm sure everybody I've talked to. We just had a meeting last week, and everybody's got tons of salt sitting around, but I'm sure all the supply.
acquired that tons of salt, so I think that's going to help the salt prices on the to go down.
Morton Salt needs salt.
Yeah. If there's any other questions, you should just email me and I'll include it and talk to our attorneys and talk to them and put it in the agreement so it's formal.
You know, the last two things got tight a couple of times because Ron and I talked about it. We never had a problem. So if we made it through last year and everything worked out pretty well, I think we'll make it from there on. Things were good last year.
And I asked for a very brief reason by DA. Very, it's one of the reasons why I
see.
I think it's
you know, and last year was a perfect example of managing your asset, what we have in salt. I mean, that was a winter that was like none other. It snowed from, well, it quit in June. I don't know if there was any other month. I mean, it was horrible, and, you know, we started really strictly managing salt spray. And we got through the winter. We got through with the salt that we had. And we were able to maintain our roads well. Very good. So are we going to move this forward with...
I will put it on the regular board then and not be sent. So if there's any specific questions between now and that board meeting, we'll talk more.
Very good. Any other topics? Thank you, everybody. May I get a motion to adjourn?
Second.
Motion made by Trustee Newby, seconded by Trustee Fry. All in favor? Do I hear all the ayes? There we go. Opposed? The meeting's adjourned at 8 o'clock. Thank you, everyone.